Good afternoon. Okay, you're here. And awake. Not everybody's here, but you're here. We are glad to be here. Let me set my watch so I don't go over 50 minutes. Doesn't that make you feel good? You can set your watch and check up on me if you want. We're headed back for Tennessee. We've been here 3 weeks. We're headed back for Tennessee tomorrow, be down there 5 weeks, and then we'll be back up here. Why are we coming back? Of course, you realize it's got to be you, right? That we would come up for you. The fact that sweet corn starts coming in, it has a little bit to do with it, of course. And even better than sweet corn is Theo. How many of you know what I mean when I say Theo? All right. You know what Theo means in Greek? No? It means God. That's right, Theo. But it's normally a short form of things like Theodore, which means the love of God or loved by God. Adore, we get the word adore from it. So Theodore, the love of God. And anybody know about Theodore? Theodore, yeah, great-grandson. He's 7 months old, and he and his big sisters, 7 and 9, call him Theodorable because they're big enough that they love him. Now, by the time he's 5, and they're teenagers, things may change, but I think they'll always love him. He's young enough under their age that they'll think he's cute, even if he's like my grandson. This is, happens to be Renee's great-grandson, but I have a grandson who has two big sisters, and they still love him even though he calls them poop heads and things like that. He's beginning to quit doing it. He's getting big enough that he doesn't say that as much anymore, but when he was small, you know how little brothers can be. And they still love him. So I actually have a purpose to talk about grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I have more children. I have twice as many children as Renee. And I have almost twice as many grandchildren. I have 9. She has 5. But she has 8 great-grandchildren. And I only have 2. But I claim hers, especially great-grandchildren, especially Theodore and Willow, who lives way out in Wyoming. So we don't, and she's adorable too. So little children are adorable, and we just enjoy our great-grandchildren. You know, she has a great-granddaughter who is 22 years old. 22 years old. And we heard, she's shaking her head, she's rolling her eyes and shaking her head because she thinks I'm going to say something. But we heard almost a year ago, that they were planning on having a family. They wanted to have a family. And nothing's happened that we know of. So, now what she doesn't want me to say is we need to go out and explain it to them. Because that's what she doesn't want me to say. So I don't dare say that. So we're waiting for the first great-great-grandchild. So we hope we live long enough that that happens. That'll be good, won't it? Now, those of you who have children, you adore your children. Those of you who have grandchildren, you adore your, oh, let me just tell, and this is part of the sermon, by the way. I'm leading up to a point. Renee's only has 2, but she has a daughter who is now, that little Theodore, that little Theo, adorable, is her first great-grandchild. Lisa is her daughter, and Lisa babysits twice a week. And those are the 2 happiest days of her week. She is loving her first great-grandchild. We've got pictures of her. She's holding that baby. She's just grinning and grinning and grinning. She loves her little grandchild. There's just so much love there. And I can remember my first grandchild being born, and they told us, we were in a hospital in Georgia, and they told us we could come down and see her. And I can remember going down the hall and actually leaping on the way. I mean, I actually was so excited I had to jump. I was so excited to see my first grandchild. And, of course, now she's a mother and of a great-grandchild. So we are enjoying being happy. And I give you another example. Living with us in Tennessee, we have a garage, and there was a what they call a bonus room above the garage. And we put in a kitchen. It already had a bathroom. We put in a kitchen, the refrigerator, the stove, and one of my granddaughters, the fourth grandchild, moved in there with her husband and had a baby. And so here's this little boy that's living there. And Autumn is my granddaughter. She married a young man from Australia, although he has an American. He's got dual citizenship because his mother is American. And he's very, very affectionate young man. He's incredibly affectionate. He just shows love, and he just loves this little boy. And now over there they have a shower, so they can walk through the top of the house through little doors and get to the tub we have upstairs, little bathroom that has a tub. That's where they bring little Atticus to bathe him. Usually Daddy comes and does it. We can tell them when we'll be downstairs in the living room, and it's just up above there, and there's a door, and we can tell when that little boy is going to get a shower, because when the water starts, he starts squealing. He loves taking a bath. And we can hear Daddy laughing. We can hear little Atticus squealing with joy. We're having a good time. That little boy's mother sent out a picture, I guess, on Facebook. And it was a picture of her husband holding her baby. And Autumn said, "I'm happier than I've ever been." Can you believe that? Yes. I'm happier than I've ever been. I mean, my first baby, David, was the first human I ever loved more than myself. Now later I came to love many people more than myself. I came to love my wife, Lucretia, who died, for those of you who don't know, some years ago. But I loved her more than myself. But not at first. I loved her as much as myself. But a large reason that I loved her was because I loved myself. I mean, this girl was really good for me as a young man getting married. But I came to love her more than myself. But David, wow. That little boy came along, and I loved him more than myself instantly. Just instantly. And Autumn looked at that picture, as I said, and she sent that picture and said, "I'm happier than I have ever been." What's making her happy? It's love. She loves that little boy. And she just wrote recently. She said, she showed a picture of herself a year ago, pregnant, and where she had written that they were happy, that this little baby inside her is happy and doing well. Now, how she knew the baby was happy, because it was wiggling, I guess, and this little boy. And she's got this big grin on her face, and she's pregnant, and she's looking forward to a baby. But she wrote just recently, that they had no idea how much they would love him. I mean, they were thrilled that there was this wiggle going on inside of her. But she said, we had no idea how much we could love him. So they're really, really happy. Now, I have a title for the sermon. I usually forget to give a title. How to be happy forever. How to be happy forever. Do you have a clue as to something involved in being happy forever? Got a clue? What? Love? Was that your guess? You know what makes us happy? It's love. It's love. We think of love as being caring about other people and it's good for them, but you know, love returns dividends for the person who's in love, who loves that other person. Now, there are many kinds of love. And of course, we sing songs about romantic love. And a lot of times, romantic love can be very selfish. With Lucretia, but she was so good for me. Wow. And I'm in love with Renee now. I lost my wife, first wife. And it was pain. But then God led me to Renee. Or else, and blinded her. So, she still thinks I'm a nice guy, despite the fact she's constantly going like this, you know. Afraid I'll say something. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Some years ago, our chairman of the Council of Elders, Don Ward, sent out a message to the church, and I kept it for years and cannot, it's somewhere in my papers because I know I never deliberately threw it away. And I've quoted it. I've pulled it out. I used to carry it in my Bible. But he quoted this, and I agree with what he said. He looked into this and he read something into it that it doesn't directly say, but I believe is absolutely true. I believe he was correct. And I've used it in several sermons. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, happiness and joy, sometimes people will say there's a nuance of difference. And I think if we discussed it, we might have agree with that. You might be joyful even when you're not happy. When he hung on the stake, might not have been happy at the moment, but he would have joy, depending on your interpretation or the nuance that you give it. That is, he saw something ahead that suffering was bringing, but right at the moment, it didn't feel good. It felt awful. But Dr. Ward brought out his opinion of why Jesus was happy. Well, first of all, he was going to sit at the right hand of God the Father, but that's not what Dr. Ward brought out. And it says on the right hand, beside God there is joy forevermore, pleasure forevermore. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dr. Ward said that his opinion that Jesus had the joy because of what he was doing for us. That he was bringing many sons and daughters to glory. That was the happiness. Look, just like mothers and fathers love that child and would give their life, 90% of parents would give their life to save their child. And they want their child to have happiness and would do anything to have their child happy. And so, are there people that I would give up my salvation for? Well, the answer is yes. And somebody might say, well, you shouldn't even think that. Oh, Paul said he'd give up his salvation for Israel, for Jude. But of course, God wouldn't allow that. But he loved Israel that much. And I think a lot of parents, if they had the choice, and God will never give you this choice, either you can go in the kingdom or your child would say, take my child. Because most parents love their children more than they love themselves. And we all love ourselves. But our child is the most important part of us. And a grandchild and a great-grandchild would say, take that. Because of love. And I think that's interesting. Think of the joy that he's going to have with all his brothers and sisters, and he paid for them to be there. He paid for them to be there. And think of the happiness that he will have forever when you're in his kingdom, and he knows you. Now, it's hard for us to think of that because we're so used to, I mean, we can only know so many people. And we can forget names. And we're limited. But Jesus knows, just like God the Father, he knows every hair on our head, and he has seen us and known us before our parents knew that they had conceived a baby. And watched us grow. You know how excited parents get when they get the ultrasound and they see the feet and the hands and the fingers and the little nose squeezed up and everything. And you know, and then the grandparents get it. Everybody's excited to see this little baby in the womb. God has watched that baby grow. Jesus has watched every baby grow. And for us, it's kind of hard to imagine because there's so many billions of babies. But God knows each one better than the parents and has watched them and knows what they've thought, which the parents can kind of get a pretty good idea of what the baby's, that child's thinking because they've known that child since the child was born. And it seems like mom does have eyes in the back of her head, doesn't it, at times, that she knew what you were doing, knew what you were thinking. Don't you think that. Don't you do that. I know what you're thinking. You just quit. And don't even touch it. Don't even get near that. And moms can know that, but God knows it far better. And Jesus knows it far better. Jesus and God the Father love our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren far more than any of us could ever love our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Anybody here have a great-great-grandchild? Renee thinks there's only one person in the room that's older than she, so, okay. I won't say who you are that she thinks is 2 years older than she is. Oh, you think you know who it is? I bet you do know who it is. Okay, yeah, she's saying me. That's right. But God loves, Jesus had that joy He had that joy. Because there is joy in love. When someone shows up at church with their first baby, young couple, and what do they look like? They're grinning, and people are coming up. We're all going up to them and saying, oh, your baby is so cute. Oh, so beautiful. And, of course, they're thinking, yes, yes. And I usually tell them, oh, your baby's adorable, beautiful. And I'm not lying. I don't just say that to make them happy. I think babies are the most wonderful thing God has ever made. To me, that's my opinion. The most wonderful thing on this earth are babies. And I tell them, oh, your baby's so beautiful and adorable. He or she will bring you more joy than you have ever known. And more sorrow than you have ever known. And they laugh. Why? Because you love them. So if they're doing well, it brings you joy. And if they're not doing well, it brings you terrible sorrow. But there is greater joy in love than any place else. In Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. How to be happy forever is the title. Do you have a clue as to what brings us great happiness? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. I don't mean just loving God. Yes, that brings us great happiness. But it's His love in us. It's a love that is not just human. It's when God takes His love, the love that Jesus has, the love that the Father has, and places that love. What are the fruits of the Spirit? What's the number one that's listed? Love. And what's the second? Do we see a connection that the first one causes and the second? That it is love that creates the greatest amount of joy? Just like Autumn, who said, I'm happier than I have ever been. Why? Because she's more in love than she has ever been. Of course, my daughter and her husband, that's their first grandchild. They are absolutely in love. Of course, they had two girls. They love their two girls. They adore their two girls. I love their two girls. But now this is the first boy. See, they had two girls. Now they have a grandson. Now, if it had been a girl, they would have loved her just as much as they love that little boy. Because they adored their daughters. But now, you know, I get to see my daughter more often than I did now that her grandchild is living in my house. They often come and stay. They know the room. There's a bedroom upstairs. And they're welcome to come anytime they want and stay there. And they do. So how does that make Papa, that's what they call me. Most of my grandchildren say, how does that make Papa feel to see his daughter, Debbie, so happy? It makes me happy because I love Debbie and I love her husband and I love her daughters and I love her grandson. So see how love can bring joy. And to me, the closest thing on earth that we have to God's love is parental love, especially mother love. When we buried my mom, I can remember thinking, the human being, my dad loved me. But my mother adored me. So did my grandma. Of course, I was the youngest for 12 years of my grandma's children, and my older cousins, my two cousins, my older brother, but my two cousins, girls, who were older, 4 and 6 years older than me, would always say, "Fred, you know you were grandma's favorite." Yeah, I was the youngest for 12 years. And I would say to Evelyn and Miriam, when they would say, "Fred, you know you were grandma's favorite," I'd say, "I was your favorite." My cousin Miriam, who was 6 years older, used to say, "Fred, you know I'm the one who potty trained you." She loved saying, "I was almost two," which back then, and hadn't been potty trained, it was just horrendous. And my grandma was so horrified that I had not been potty trained, was nearly two. That just wasn't done back then. That grandma went to Miriam, who was about eight at that time, said, "Miriam, I'll give you $5 if you'll potty train Fred." And back then, this is 1942, that was a lot of money. So she loved telling me that, "Fred, you know I'm the one who potty trained you." Where's the joy? Who loves you more than your mom or your grandma or your dad? I just think it's kind of hard to love somebody more than the person who felt you inside of her. You know, I love my children, but I think no one loved them more than Lucretia. Just, I mean, her whole life was built around God and her children. What she wanted to do in life was be in God's kingdom and while on this earth have children. And she had four. And then later she said, "We could have had another one." Because she just adored children. And I thought, when we buried Mom, the person who loved me most of all is going, her body's going down in the ground right there. But she loved me. And you know, after somebody dies, there's usually some guilt feeling. I mean, you know, why didn't I tell them I love them more? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? Because of love. The more love we have, the greater the joy. And in God's kingdom, you will be part of the family of God. You'll be part of the family of God. And so anyway, in Luke 15, verse 4, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now he's being a little facetious there. Because what person is there who does not need to repent? See, Jesus mentioned that the person who is forgiven more loves more. See, he was talking to the man who thought he didn't need to repent. Like the Pharisee and the publican who went into the temple to pray, and you know, one who said, "Well, I thank you, I'm not like this publican, this tax collector." And the tax collector who beat his breast and wouldn't even lift his head up to heaven, ask God for forgiveness. He's the one who was forgiven. But you know something? There was joy in heaven. Now, who's up there rejoicing? Who is full? God has happiness. God has joy. You and I can bring God joy. How can we bring God joy? Why do we bring God joy? You can bring God's joy. You know why? He loves you. Jesus loves you. They've gone through a lot that you might live forever. And they've watched you more than your mother could ever have watched you. And loved you far more. And so here's the thing. We have God's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit of God. And so what brings us happiness? God's love being shed abroad in our hearts. And when we're in God's kingdom, what will we be composed of? God is love. Now, right now, we can have love because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts. That'll bring us more joy than we've ever had. But you know something? What happens when we're not just receiving God's Spirit in us? We are made of God's Spirit. See, we will not be just created human beings. We'll be in the family of God, created with His Spirit, made like Jesus. What kind of joy will we have in God's kingdom? I mean, we'll be able to love everybody more than we have ever loved our children. And that's a lot of love. Because we'll be composed of God's Spirit. Not just receiving it in our hearts and spreading love abroad in our hearts, but actually be composed of love. And when there's love, there's joy. So, how to be happy forever? We rejoice. Romans chapter 5. Watch my time. Now, what brought this up was, what was it we had on, something came out Mother's Day. There was, I don't remember. We didn't speak. What was happening that we didn't have the sermon that Sabbath? I forget. But anyway, thinking about mothers. When you think about mothers, you think about love. I mean, I appreciate my mother far more now than I did when I was a boy, by far. And you know, as the years go on, I appreciate my mother more and more and more, and my father. So there's just wonderful things thinking about it. And I thought, we were talking about it. What really prompted this, and Renee mentioned it, is thinking about Mother's Day. Because it's about, on earth, about the greatest love we see is from our mothers. Now, not everybody had a loving mother. But most of us did. And the fact is, God and Jesus love us far more than our mothers ever could in the flesh. So it isn't, if somebody here didn't have a loving mother, you have a loving brother and a loving father. And I think there are angels who saw you, have been watching you, watching over you, who love you dearly. And someday we'll be able to meet them. We'll be able to meet them. Well, I've been talking and not turning to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Start in verse 5. And read down to verse 11. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. There you are. By the Holy Spirit, and should be which, was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That took some real love. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified, that is, forgiven, made just, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, God loved us when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. How does He save us by His life? He comes to live within us and change us and make us like Him, to where we think like Him, love like Him. Well, not as much as He does, because we're still in the flesh and we just have a bit of his love through the Spirit that is within us. There's a Spirit. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts. So we shall be saved by His life, coming to live within us, changing us, giving us love. And not only that, but we also rejoice. Now there's the word joy. It means it's the verb form. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Now there's the joy. And we can have joy through love. Now. Just as you have joy over your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, or whatever, husband and wife, whatever love you have, the more love you have, the more joy you have. And when things don't go well, yes, the more sorrow. And Renee is the one who says, what is it, that grief is the price of love. That's right. Because, people you love in the flesh are going to die, or they may get sick, they may have problems. Grief is a price of love, but also joy. Also joy. In Philippians 4:1, I'm not going to turn to it. Paul called them his joy and crown. He wrote to them, my joy and crown. What are the two great commandments? What is really important to God? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And we should, because He's the one who's given all love and all joy and salvation and eternal life. And Jesus, who died for us. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love everybody. Everybody's important. Everybody in Africa. We can't know them all. Although when we're in God's kingdom, we can know them all. We can know everybody better than we know each other now. Because we'll have the very characteristics of the family of God. David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, you will take me up. So there's no one who's ever loved us more than God or Jesus. Can you imagine when my mother and my father forsake me, you will take me up? That is real, real love. Okay, watching my watch. That's what you're supposed to watch, is your watch. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 10. So this was inspired by Mother's Day. Mothers are so wonderful. Wow. I've stopped young couples or young mother out with a little baby, and it seems pretty obvious that's their... When I was in New Zealand and I'd go exercise on the beach and there'd be a young couple there with a little baby and I'd go up to them and I'd say, is this your first baby? Every time I guessed right, they'd say yes. And I'd say, is this the most wonderful baby that's ever existed? And they always say yes. Now, if one of them ever said no, I'd say, wrong answer. Try again. Because for that person, that's the most wonderful baby that ever existed. And my family, my granddaughters, and others that have had babies, that's, is this the most wonderful baby that ever existed? Oh, yes. Well, that's wonderful. But how about when my father and my mother forsake me, you'll take me up. 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then down in verse 16 through 19. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And we all want to be in the very family and be children of God. And be love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. We are to be love. And then verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Now you might say occasionally you're afraid, you know, that we have fear God. Yeah, if we were perfect and we had perfect love all the time, 100%, we'd never sin. But unfortunately, we don't always in this life have perfect love, do we? But there is no fear in love. It's in selfishness that we need to have fear. But we're working that way. We're working toward love. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, we're getting down. I think have you ever noticed that a sermon can go on, you know, they want us to do it in 50 minutes. I don't know how many of you are timing me. But that's what they want us to do. And my understanding is one of the reasons that Mr. Welch dropped it from an hour to 50 minutes is there were so many men going over an hour. And I'm thinking all of us get to drop it because some were going over and I was not going over an hour. But I had dropped it to 50 minutes, so... But he didn't call and ask my opinion. You know, I just do what I'm told. You know, first of all by Renee, then by the home office. Okay, I know how to keep out of trouble, especially with Renee. All right. Although by saying that, I may be in trouble. Let's go to Romans 8. These are verses, and this is not standard the process in baptisms. But I don't know, years ago, I began turning to Romans 8 and reading some verses at the beginning of a baptism ceremony. So we have a prayer at the beginning of a baptism ceremony, asking God's blessing. And I like to read some of these verses that are toward the end of Romans 8. And we'll just start in verse 31. Ministers like to say, this is my last verse. You know, to give you hope. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, see how this fits in with baptism? But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who then shall bring a charge against God's elect? Doesn't that fit into baptism? All the sins are gone. No charge. No sin. It is God who justifies. That means forgives. Take a person who's unjust and makes them just. Who justifies? Who is he who condemns? Person's forgiven. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, no matter what happens. And it can be bad. God still loves us, because he's looking for us to have eternal life. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Does that mean there's no love? No, it means there is love. It's eternal life he wants to give us. Not just life in the flesh. Verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You. Dr. Zimmerman would say, what's your name? Any of you remember that? Dr. Z? You remember him saying that? Yeah, I used to say, every feast, Dr. Zimmerman would say, what's your name? When he'd bring it up. This applies to you, is what he was saying. You mean there are just three of us who remember Dr. Zimmerman saying that? That's it? All you young people don't remember Dr. Z. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I almost forgot to read this. This is Charlie. He wrote this. God, give me your love so I can touch everyone. Showing love according to our ways, loving you and my neighbor. On these two principles, all of your laws and prophecies are invoked to produce your love. I hope when people are around me, when they are away from me, they will say, who was that? He touched me. Let's learn to step forward, not away. I hope a person's life is better if they know me. Let me touch people's hearts so they can see you from my light and my lifestyle, tasteful because of the salt I put before them. Where to go in this life? Learn to love God and neighbor. Loving. Having a soft loving and a heart of gold. Being nice and kind. God's way is the only way. Without God, we are nothing. God's love is keeping God's commandments. God's word is truth. Thank you, Charlie. he helps out a lot. And we got a lot of his writings.